Okay, welcome back to series two of the DQMH podcast. It's been a long time between drinks since we had the last podcast episode, almost 2 years, I think. So super excited to be back here kicking off another season of DQMH podcast. Today, we're going to talk with our good friends from the DQMH Consortium. And I can't wait to hear from them because they're going to give us a good rundown on DQMH 7. We have from DQMH Consortium, Jörg Hampel from Hampelsoft.
Hi, Chris. Happy to be here. Thanks for having us.
Pleasure. We also have Matthias Bordeaux from Studio Bods.
Hi, Chris. Hi, everyone. Hi, everyone.
Good to have you back, Matthias. And we also have Olivier Jordan from Wovelab. Thanks for being here, Olivier.
Thanks, Chris.
So I've had to, you know, sort of dust off the DQMH studio here a bit. Had a few, some interesting technical issues to get started, but here we are, we're off and running. It's really exciting to be back here again. Today, we're going to talk about DQMH 7. And then after that, we're going to hear from the DQMH Consortium a bit about some of the other offerings that they've been working on as well. So it'd be really good to catch up and hear about how DQMH Consortium can help you further with their with your LabVIEW development. Before we get stuck into DQMH 7 features and technical detail, I just wanted to throw it over to you guys and just get a sense first about how the DQMH Consortium's going. What were your general feelings with this particular release, DQMH 7? And, you know, as what's the feedback been like so far? When was it released? It's been out now for a few weeks, I think. But Jörg, do you want to kick us off? Just give us a general update on DQMH Consortium.
Yes, I'd love to. Thank you, Chris. So the DQMH Consortium is running strong, stronger than ever, I want to say. But no, in all seriousness, it's going well. I think we have found our way, our cadence. Things are settling into place. We are kind of, I guess everybody's happy with the role that they're playing at the moment. So things are looking good on the consortium side. Time has always been an issue and it continues to be an issue for us. We're all running our own businesses. So we need to make time for the DQMH Consortium, sometimes on the side, sometimes during the wee hours. Burning the candle on both ends, etc. But then on the other hand, it still is a lot of fun. And I really enjoy working with my colleagues at the consortium. And I want to say thank you, of course. I want to take the time to say thank you to everybody for doing that, also for having me along the ride. And I'm hopeful that the feeling is mutual, actually. Say nothing if you agree.
Thank you.
So, yeah, with that being said, we've been really looking forward to DQMH 7 ourselves, first and foremost, I think. I mean, everybody knows probably that the two main features of DQMH 7 are the scripted creation of helper loops and the scripted creation of private or local events. I guess two main features that are really like happening so often. So it's so often that you need a helper loop in your modules. Basically, most of our modules have helper loops. It's the exception to the rule if a module doesn't need a helper loop for us. So I was excited to see that feature. Also, if people know, I wrote a lengthy blog post about how to create helper loops a few years back. I guess DQMH 7 is kind of cutting into the popularity of the blog post, but I'll take that. I think it's a good hit to take. And we had some feedback from people who were little bit hesitant to implement helper loops because they are kind of something on top or around DQMH itself. So people were not everybody was feeling confident in creating helper loops. And I guess that now that it has become an officially supported feature of DQMH 7, this will take away some of the concerns that people might have had. And we've only had very good feedback so far regarding that. We had promised to deliver DQMH 7 before the end of the year. So you know how it is. When the year starts out, the end of the year is very far away. And we said, yeah, of course, we're going to deliver DKMH 7 by the end of the year. Matthias is going to talk about things that we also put on our roadmap for the end of the year. And everything looked dandy. And as the year like went on, and then there was summer, and then we kind of realized, well, if we want to ship that thing before the end of the year, we really need to get cracking because it takes so much time to get a product shipped and out of the door. You won't believe that. Implementing the features is the fun part, right? So everybody is like interested in that, sitting down, writing the LabVIEW code, testing it, using it. But then, of course, once the features are implemented, you need to test stuff, you need to make the regression tests, you need to make sure that you're not breaking anything that's already there. And we've spent literally hundreds of hours on the testing side. We have a very elaborate testing plan for DKMH. This time we had, I think, 3 people running the test plan in parallel. So we executed it 3 times in parallel. The test plan, how many items does it have? I can't remember. Is it 100 maybe or more? Does anybody know?
More than 100.
160 or whatever the number is. It's quite intense. So it takes you a lot of time to run it. Yeah, it's extensive. So it was literally hundreds of hours of testing. And then somebody needs to sit down and write the documentation. Thanks to Olivier, because we have him on board. Of course, we strive for having code as the documentation. We're not completely there yet. But what we did, I think, very well this time and for the first time was to write documentation while features were being implemented. So you're sitting down, you're writing the code. You also write the documentation, or at least the first draft of it, already in the place where it's going to be. And maybe we can talk about that later, because that also is another milestone, I think, in the infrastructure that DKMH Consortium uses. I'm going to talk about that in a second. So we did try to come up with the documentation while features were being implemented to kind of take away the huge package at the end, right? So moving the effort and the time needed to the beginning of the whole endeavor, which, is only beneficial, no matter how, from what point of view you look at it. So that was great. That worked very well. And then, I guess, last but not least, we automated a lot. And when I say we, really, I have to give credit to Matthias and Olivier. I've said it on the social media before, I'm really a sucker for CI. But this time, I was in a comfortable position to just lean back and watch how the whole system was built. We discussed it beforehand. But really, I had not a lot of say in that thing. So kudos to Olivier and Matthias for implementing the CI pipelines, which not only built the product, like really built the packages, install the packages, create the VIPC file to DKMH 7. This happens now automatically on the server side with the click of a button. It even generates the documentation website from the documentation source files that we have in our repository. So this is really, like, you can insert all the buzzwords that you know here. It's a leapfrog thing, it's a gigantic move forward, it makes life so much easier. It's possible for all of us now to trigger and initiate a build. We don't have to rely on a single person who, like, I don't know, knows how to log into the build server, knows how to start the right version of BIPM, etc. All these things we took out of the equation. Which is also one of the main reasons that we were able to deliver 7.0.1, so the first hotfix for DKMH 7, right away. Like, we implemented the fix, we did testing, of course, that's still the crucial part. But then when we said, okay, the baby is ready to ship, Olivier just pressed the button, and the VIPC file popped out of the machinery. So this is, I can't emphasize how important this is for us being able to deliver a quality product in a very short amount of time. We don't have to shy back from delivering hotfixes anymore, because that part is not a huge effort anymore. So I'll stop rambling now, but you can feel like how excited I am about all of these things that we're doing. So I feel like DKMH is on a really good path. I'm very happy with everything that's happening right now.
So we definitely know about your passion around continuous integration, Jörg, and I guess this is something that's been building for some time through your own business and now you're seeing that the fruits of that effort helping DQMH, which is great to see.
Well, I want to say that it's not only my passion, Olivier and Matthias. I guess all of us have been passionate about the automation in different aspects or different specific fields, maybe. Everybody knows that StudioBot has BLT, that fantastic product for building, licensing, and tracking software. So Matthias is the king of automation, I guess, in terms of like writing the LabVIEW code. We have been productizing continuous integration with our release automation tools, which is really a part of our way of working offering for our customers. So that's a different take on the topic. And Olivier has been really focusing on CI itself, maybe, on the also documentation part with AntiDoc. Everybody knows that. So I really feel like the puzzle pieces are fitting together so well in our team, and we are augmenting each other's knowledge, each other's passion. And it's just fun to work with the guys, I have to say.
Yeah, it's really pleasing to hear. DQMH Consortium's now, what, about 3 years old, is it? Or 2 years, 3 years?
I couldn't tell, really. It could have been 10 years for all I know, or just 6 months, because it's been, a breeze.
I would say...
Yeah, this is your third release, right? Sorry, Olivier, you go.
I would say 3 years in April.
Yes.
In April, right, yeah. Of course, we should acknowledge Fabiola Della Cueva, who is the original creator of DQMH. She can't be with us today, but I think every time we speak to her in the DQMH Trusted Advisors meeting, she's always glowing at how things have evolved at DQMH Consortium. So well done. So guys, let's talk about DQMH 7 then. One more thing. Off you go, Jörg.
I have to say that Jörg is the one more thing guy in the team. So
there's always at least one more thing.
There's always one more thing.
Exactly. So let's not forget about the role that Luis plays, Fabiola's spouse, Luis Orozco. He's the fifth member of the board of in the DQMH Consortium. And he takes care of all the things that are on the business, financial, organizational side. He's a very great sparring partner. I also gravitate towards those topics, really, and I love hashing out things together with Luis. Again, I think it's really a match, maybe not a match made in heaven, that would be a little much to say, but again, we work very well together. And also that part of the whole organization is covered very nicely by Luis. So like you said, thanks to Pat, but also thanks a lot to Luis.
So let's focus our attention now on DQMH 7. It's been out now for a few weeks or a few months. You just were saying it came out late last year. Let's dig in a little bit. Tell us how about we throw it over to Olivier to give us a bit of an overview, Olivier, of DQMH 7 and what's in the box.
Yeah, as you said, Jörg said, we really did our best to deliver this new version at the end of last year, so it's now available for 2 months, and we release. It's been a huge release for us. We have 19 new features, 18 changes, and 7 fixes. I just went through the change log in the documentation just to remember how huge this new release was, and in all those things we did last year, we have some major feature we were really pleased to release. Jörg told about the helper loop automated creation, so that's, I think, the first thing you can see in this new version. I've
super been excited using about this one.
Yeah. I've been using DQMH 7.0 since the first or the second beta on a real project. So I'm really confident with the tool because I'm using it on customer project. And really it's the thing you do first and you see how impactful it is when you are developing, because it saves you time and time where you are, when you know how to do an helper loop, it's a brainless operation and it's not really something you like to do. If you can replace it with automated tool, it's better. But I would say that using the 7.0 version, I really like the feature that are around this helper loop creation. And this is the new way or the new options you have to create events. So you have requests, and from the beginning, you can create requests for module, and those requests are public and are part of the public API. So any part of the code can call your module through this request. But now you have new options on this request creation. You can create private requests. So you can set the scope of those requests. And you, if you set your request to be private, you will use this request only in your module. So the basic use cases is request and select which loop is going to handle the request. So you are creating this new private request and you say, this request is going to be handled by this helper loop or the MHL or any loop you have in the module. And the last option you have, on new option you have in the event creation is for the clonable module, you can set the new request to be local to the module. So if you have multiple instances of your clonable module available, you can have a request that is going to just address one instance of this module. And that's really, really useful when you are developing your code with DQMH. And it really helps a lot the developers. And that's for me the major feature we provide in the DQMH 7.0 release.
Yeah, so in my mind, these two or three features are quite significant and quite I'm quite excited about them. I think they've been ideas we've been throwing around since the Trusted Advisors began in 2018. I remember we started putting in feature requests internally, and these were two ideas that the helper loop, having an automated creation of the helper loop and having the ability to create private requests, are two features that have been on that feature request page for some time now. So it's super exciting to see that they're now a part of this product.
And let me take the opportunity of your remark to say that we tried to implement a new feature based on the feature request we have from the users. So you probably know that you can post, and you did it a lot of time, Chris. You use the feature request forum we have on ni.com to ask for a new feature. We evaluate those features. We can decline some of them and we can accept some of them. And in this new release, we have many features an idea of feature coming from the DQMH users. And we are already pleased to have everyone, every user of the DQMH being able to help us improve the product. And part of the those requests, and we can dive into two or three minor features we implemented, and part of them are coming from the developers using DQMH framework. And for example, we have a new organization in the module folder on your LabVIEW project. We improved the way files are organized in the module. In the private folder, now you have a new folder that organizes controls, error files, error VIs, etc. So it's a better way to dive into the module. We also, and that's one of my favorite minor, I would say, feature, is when you are creating a new event or you are using scripting tools on modules, now you have the list of modules available in the project. And now this list is alphabetically ordered. And it's much better when you have lots of modules in your project to find which module you want to create the event. And
that's good.
Yeah, and I have one last feature. Yeah, a minor feature, but now you can, when you create a new request, you can set a new custom timeout. The timeout is set up by default at 5 seconds in a QMatch module. But if you know that you are going to create a new request that is going to require a different timeout, you can set it up directly when you are creating the event. And that's a minor feature, but it's useful. I would say that's my highlights on the new DQMatch 7.0 version. I don't know if Matthias or Jörg want
to. Yeah, I completely agree. It's so many times I had to modify the code of a particular request and wait for reply because that particular request, I know, took more than the 5 seconds. So it's been something that we had to work around many times in the past, and now it's just a feature of DQMH. So I'm very happy of that one as well.
Yeah, we're constantly just all the little subtle improvements just makes for overall a really efficient programming tool. I'll just hark back there to your comment, Olivia, about the community, the feature requests on the community. It's a very vibrant community, and it's really interesting to see all the feature requests that are coming through, and ideas that, you know, I would never have thought of, and I'm sure some of you guys probably wouldn't even think, oh, that's something I wouldn't have thought of. I'll put the link in the show notes, but definitely a good way to raise interest on particular ideas. I will admit now that I cheat, and every time I put in a request, I get my whole company to kudo it, so that it looks like there's a lot of people that like my idea, which is why most of my ideas get talked about. So thanks, guys. Jörg, you wanted to add something more.
First of all, I'm not going to spill how I get my feature requests to be kudos, because then everybody would do it. So don't give away all your secrets, Chris. And the other thing, I wanted to get back to the request timeout briefly, and just a word of warning. Being able to set the timeout for a request is not an excuse for not implementing asynchronous communication in places where it is the better solution. Just keep that in mind. Sometimes a request and then waiting for a broadcast is technically the better way to do it. So just to put that out there.
Sorry, can I just clarify there? You mean sort of like a round trip scenario where you send the request, and the broadcast then is the final way to say that that task is complete. Is that what you're meaning, Jörg?
Yes. So there are basically two things. You can have a request with reply, which means the VI stops. It's like halting and waiting for the reply to come in. So where you use a request VI, the execution of your containing VI stops at that point until the request with wait for reply VI finishes executing, right? So that's synchronous, basically. You're stopping at the place where you're sending a request and waiting for a reply. An alternative could be that you send a request without a reply, which means your block diagram continues executing right away. And then in a separate place, in a parallel loop, wherever, you might be registered for a broadcast where you wait asynchronously for a reply, which means you can actually stop waiting if you choose to, because that's a problem with the request and wait for reply. Once you start waiting, you cannot stop waiting. You have no access from the outside to the resource of the notifier, right?
That's right. And that then you're at the mercy of waiting for that timeout.
Exactly. So be careful with the huge timeout, because then you have to wait for that.
Yeah. So great summary, Olivier and Jörg. Thanks for taking us through those features. So just to recap, you can automate a helper loop, the creation of a helper loop. You can generate private requests that are only used internal to the module. You can tell which loop is going to handle a new request. And then on the minor side of issues, we've got a custom timeout for new requests, a module name sorted alphabetically in the scripting tool, and new module folder organization. Among others, there's a heap more. And I guess if we go to dqmh.org, we can find a full list of the features, or vipm.io. Where would be the best place to learn about all the new improvements?
I guess that would be on our documentation website. So documentation.dqmh.org/dqmh. There is a section, what's new in DQMH, and you'll find all the changes for each DQMH version, each DQMH release. So documentation.dqmh.org, from there you can navigate to the product documentation of all our products and offerings, because we don't have only of DQMH.
Which we're about to find out more about. So that's really awesome. Any final thoughts on DQMH 7 before we discuss some of the other DQMH consortium products?
Just download it and use it.
Download it and use it. Sweet, simple and sweet. I love it. All right, I'm going to throw it over to you now, Matthias. DQMH consortium, whilst they've been busy getting DQMH 7 out the door, there's been a bit of activity in the background on a few other things. So why don't you start by just telling us through some of those products? Let's start with Lumos. What's Lumos, Matthias?
Yes, sure. Lumos, it's a new product by the DQMH Consortium. It's something maybe you've already seen 2 years ago, something like that. Olivier demonstrated it the first time at the GLA Summit. There was a lot of excitement around that from us, obviously, but also from the LabVIEW community. And we decided to put some more effort on that project and make it a real product, which just happened at the end of 2023. We released Lumos. So Lumos, it's a toolkit that allows you to monitor the communication inside your application live and real time by drawing basically a sequence diagram of the execution of your application. So Lumos, it's a toolkit that at the moment works for DQMH projects, DQMH based project, but there is a future for Lumos. We envision Lumos will be able to work with any application framework, but at the moment the first version that has been released is for DQMH based project, and it's going to put some trackers in your module execution, especially the request and wait for reply broadcasts, and every time a something happened in your code execution, we're going to draw this live and real time in a sequence diagram view. And
so what's a sequence diagram? Tell me, what's a sequence diagram?
So yeah, there are a lot of type of documentation for an application. There is like the static documentation, which the best tool I know today to generate is AntiDoc by WoovaLab. So static documentation generates the documentation of how your code is organized, architectured, for example, the list of all your modules, the list of all your requests, replies, broadcasts, classes, etc. That doesn't really give you the information of the timing of what's going on while your application is executing. It's more the documentation of how your application is architectured. A sequence diagram, it's a view of the execution sequence of your application. So depending on which button you might press while your application, you will get a different sequence diagram for the same application. It's really the view of what's going on while your application is executing. So this module send a request to that other module, and that other module reply back with whatever payload in the reply. So in a sequence diagram view, you're going to have basically a vertical line for each module, each participant in your application. And then you're going to see arrows from one module, one vertical line, to another vertical line for request, and another arrow for the reply from the specific instance of the module that received the request, and you're going to see another arrow for the reply and where the reply is coming from and where it's going to. So that's the summary of a sequence diagram.
Sorry, just to paraphrase, it's a way to represent how the project is, how the application is running with by looking at the different DQMH requests and broadcasts in real time during runtime.
During runtime. So that's basically a documentation tool, yes, but I would say more a debugging tool. Because if you have some bugs that are really hard to find out, to troubleshoot, and usually it could be related to timing, a module not receiving the request in a timely manner, or not sending the reply to the right caller, maybe things that are really hard to debug, the sequence diagram view and Lumos would show that very, very obviously on the diagram. And it's not only about the request and the reply, but also the lifetime of a module, when the DQMH module comes into live and when it leaves memory. And Jörg, I believe you want to add something.
Yeah, just want to quickly say that it's also a fantastic tool to augment your static documentation. If you imagine you having like a golden master run of your application where everything goes well, you can just trace that with Lumos, export a beautiful image, SVG image, and add that to your documentation as another element helping other people understand what your application is actually doing.
Exactly. I've worked actually for several customers, especially in the medical industry, where they request that they want that for the within their documentation for the quality and testing and all the validation with the FDA and all that kind of stuff. They need that kind of documentation on what's going on when you press that button and when you launch the program, and you can imagine how much time it took me to generate this kind of diagram before, like, manually writing the syntax based on what's happening. And maybe also it was not entirely right, because I was basically interpreting what's going on in the program based on the code and on what I saw. With Lumos, it doesn't lie. We have trackers in the code, and it will tell you the truth. It's not an interpretation.
That sounds like a really good reason to check it out. I guess, so just to paraphrase, the key, you know, problem that Lumos is solving is primarily to help with debugging DQMH projects in runtime to see the sequence of events happening within your application. And then secondary to that, you can produce documentation that shows how the software executes, and you can rely on that being the real deal, not just someone that's written a document and made a bunch of assumptions. It's generated from the actual application. That's a really powerful thing. So how does one get started with Lumos, Matthias?
Very good question. So dqmh.org/lumos, you're gonna land on the Lumos product page. From there you can download the Lumos trial version. Lumos is a paid product. The cost is $299 per developer, which allows to use Lumos on three computers, but this is a developer license. So from dqmh.org/lumos, you can try out Lumos. There is a 15 days trial, and Lumos works with the viewer, which is an executable, and there is also the API that allows you to prepare your project and include the trackers. That's that you can download from the IPM. Again, documentation.dqmh.org/lumos or dqmh.org/lumos, you'll find all the information on how to get your hands on Lumos, where to find the documentation, see some products demonstrations, some videos we've made. We try to make it as clear as possible. So hopefully you'll find all the information you need.
Excellent. Does it take much effort to retrofit their existing application to have it Lumos ready?
Not at all. We actually ship Lumos with scripting tools. You know how at the DKMH Consortium we are fan of scripting tools, and we try to make the life easy for all LabVIEW developers. So basically, there is a little wizard that will analyze your project, your LabVIEW project, find out all the DKMH modules, request, replies, podcast, and script everything for you. So depending on the size of your project, it will take a few seconds to a few minutes to just have your LabVIEW project, your DKMH-based project ready for Lumos tracing.
Even better, I like it. So really excited to see how effective that can be. So yeah, go to dqmh.org/lumos, was it? And
yes,
get a 15-day trial. That's really good. Thank you, Matthias. So what else? What else is on the table from DQMH Consortium at the moment? Can you tell me about the VI Analyzer test suites and style guide, which I think came out last year?
Yes, the style guide came out last year, and the VI Analyzer test suite is probably, most surely, the next thing we will release in the few coming weeks. It kind of goes together. At the DKMH Consortium, we worked on best practices, best development practices, and we decided to come up with a style guide that gives some directions and guidelines on how to best write your LabVIEW project, and especially your DKMH based project, but not only. It's not just for DKMH based projects. It's really LabVIEW best practices.
General purpose LabVIEW. Yeah.
Exactly. dqmh.org/style guide. You'll be able to access this document on HTML version on a website or download the PDF. That's completely free and available for anyone who wants to look at and apply entirely or just some part. We are not saying everything we put in that should be applied by everyone. It always depends on the teams and the kind of projects you work on. But we believe those are very good guidelines that every LabVIEW developer should use.
Can I just say, Matthias, that I think that style guide is an excellent document, and I think any LabVIEW programmer should be downloading that and having a good look at it. It's got some great recommendations, some great principles that's come from, you know, experienced LabVIEW developers like yourself. It's definitely worth looking at.
Absolutely. And to help ensuring that you apply the Jörg, you wanted to say something before I go on the
suits,
maybe.
I just want to quickly add that the style guide is like a blueprint or a template, really, that you can download and look at and use, but you're free to decide which of these rules to apply and which not. My personal agenda is to call this a better practice instead of a best practice, because it always depends on the situation of the team, and there might be specific cases where some of the things that work for one team are not as applicable for other teams. So the idea is to provide a document that really feels good to use for ourselves, but we appreciate that the situation might be slightly different for others. Still, please go and download it, peruse it, and then decide, like make an informed decision about which rules you choose to apply and which ones you might decide not to work with. That doesn't mean that you shouldn't use the guide. So it's for everybody, like you said.
Yeah, thank you, Jörg, for that clarification. And English is not always easy. You're right to make that distinction between best practices and better practices. Completely agree with you.
And then the VI Analyzer test suite, which is a complementary aspect of that.
Exactly, it helps ensuring that you applied actually the style guide to your project. So we have, I'm not sure how many tests we have in that, but several dozens of tests. So those are VI Analyzer tests that you run with the VI Analyzer toolkit from NI. Those are tests written by the DQMH consortium specific to the style guide, and that helps you ensuring automatically that basically most of the better practices we describe in the style guide are correctly applied to your LabVIEW code. So it's really a set of VI Analyzer tests that you can run automatically, maybe with CI, on your LabVIEW project to help ensuring you follow the style guide. The VI Analyzer test suite, it's a matter of just polishing the release, but it's ready, it's tested, it's documented. So we are very close to releasing that, so we are going to communicate on that. That's a paid for product. We sell that for company. It's not for developers like Lumos. We sell the VI Analyzer test suite for a company, and then you can use that within the entire company. Jörg reminded me that the test suite includes 56 tests that you can programmatically.
Right. That's pretty comprehensive. Yeah.
So I just want to add that. Just to wrap it on that again, documentation.dqmh.org. You can already find the documentation of the VI Analyzer test suite and the list of all the tests that are included in that tool.
Thanks, Matthias. I just wanted to add that as a trusted advisor, my company, Wired in Software, we've been using the VI Analyzer DQMH Consortium test suites, and I've been paying close attention to that of recent time. And it's a very valuable addition to our VI Analyzer tests. And so thank you guys for putting that together. I think it's really helping with the quality of our code and making my younger software developers get a sense of what it takes to write quality code too. So if the listener has not heard about the VI Analyzer or doesn't know what that is, I encourage you to go and try it out. It's probably not available for all versions of LabVIEW, but certainly for the professional version, check out the VI Analyzer and have a look. It's a handy tool. Jörg, you've got your hand there. What would you like to say?
So I just want to add that the style guide is a free offering that the consortium compiled and offers for the community, just for helping everybody raise their own level of proficiency for making the LabVIEW ecosystem a better place. The test suite, the collection of VI Analyzer tests, is a commercial product. That being said, if you're a trusted advisor, that membership in that elite club comes with certain perks, right? And being able to use the test suite internally for your own projects is one of the perks of being a trusted advisor. So maybe that's an incentive for people to look into and think about applying for trusted advisorship.
Yeah, good point. And it's certainly been a handy tool for us. So can I just, I'm just bouncing around here on the list of other things. Can you tell me about training? I believe there is a DQMH training course. Can you tell us about that? And is there some training planned for 2024?
Yes, so we have an official DQMH consortium training. It's a 3 days DQMH course that we create and we maintain, that is mostly given by our trusted DQMH trusted advisors. So we have DQMH trusted advisors in various locations of the world, but pretty much in all the continents almost. So if you are interested in DQMH training, there is certainly an option for you to get that in person from one of our trusted advisors, or also online. This is definitely a class that we can give remotely and online. If you want to get more information, dqmh.org/training, you'll find the course outline and some of the frequently asked questions. From there, there is a form that you can fill as well to, if you have specific needs, specific topics that you want to cover, you can give us more information regarding the size of your team, your needs, and we always look at those requests and try to accommodate your needs, and then we coordinate with our trusted advisors to make sure that you're going to get the best training from the trusted advisors that maybe have some specific skills in your area. We have trusted advisors that are more specialized in VeriStand, for example, or in FPGA. So we definitely have a large panel of skills that are covered by our trusted advisors. In terms of plans for 2024, I don't think we have released dates already for 2024 of training. So for now, that will be on demand. You can fill the form on dqmh.org/training, and if you have any need, just fill the form and we will look at your request. But definitely on that page, you can also there is a little form where you can get notified. You can enter your name and email address, and you'll be registered on our mailing list, where you can get notified if and when there is a new public training date available. I'm not sure if Jörg or Olivier, you want to add something on that.
I just want to add to that, I guess, that I think at the DQMH, there's a lot of good content out there already about how to learn and start using DQMH, but I want to emphasize that if you sign up for this training, you're getting to talk to either one of the creators of DQMH or a very experienced user, and it's more than just DQMH syntax. It's getting stuck into the finessing of DQMH, the architecting of how to set up a project, and starting to apply it to your problem. Would that be correct, Jörg?
Yes, exactly. I just wanted to augment that. I guess there are two types of trainings that we offer. There's a public one that is a public date where single developers or small teams can join this training, and it would be working on a rather generic example application over the course of those 3 days. What we at HSE and I guess the other trusted advisors prefer to do actually is to give a training to a close group of customers and then tailoring the example application to the language, to the situation of the customer. So instead of working on like the CML, for example, the continuous measurement and logging example, we would make the example application do something out of the world of the customer. I don't know, maybe a power supply, right, and the database that they're already using. And we would not be implementing the modules themselves, like finalize them, of course, but everybody can understand, this is the power supply, this is our device under test, this is why they need to talk asynchronously, or this is why we need to implement a network server, whatever. And I think doing that, plus yes, the opportunity for the team to ask questions regarding their own specific projects, makes it really, really worthwhile and even more bang for the buck for a customer going opting for that option. So I really enjoy giving these types of training. Sets them up for success.
Yes. Yeah, definitely sets them up. So, I agree with that. And it's good to hear. Look, we've only got a couple minutes left. I just wanted to see, Matthias, is there anything else worth mentioning? I know there's a couple other potential products in the pipeline.
Absolutely, we a lot going on actually. Maybe some of you have heard about DTS, which is the DQMH test sequencer. So it's basically a toolkit that will allow you to, so it's a framework that is a test sequencer, and basically it includes a lot of scripting tools that allows you to create a set of tests to be sequenced by the test sequencer framework, and each of those tests is basically a DQMH module. So very easy to write, to maintain as any DQMH module. You benefit of all the DQMH scripting tools as well. So if you are in the automated test industry, etc., that might be something that you might be interested. We are working on improving DTS, but we have already many customers using DTS, very, very large applications running DTS since many years, but we are working to make it, to polish it, to make it really a commercial product. But if you are interested in that, definitely get in touch with us, because we already have something that is widely used with some great resources on how to use it.
Can I just add? I think absolutely. So I think Prime Test Automation did a presentation last year, maybe at GDevCon NA about DTS. So jump onto YouTube and check that one out. Dan Press presented that at GDevCon.
GDevCon NA, yeah, right. Yeah. You're right, and the video is available on YouTube, as you said. So yeah, there is DTS, there is DCFG, DQMH Configuration Editor. I'm sure many of you have written many times different things or similar things to have configuration, an application with a configuration that the user can edit without having to touch some text files or binary files or whatever. DCFG aims to provide you again a framework based on DQMH modules, where where you can have several categories of configuration pages for your application, all based on DQMH. Again, that's something that is used already in real life projects by several of our customers. But what we are working at the moment is adding all the scripting tools. Right now, many things have to be done manually. So you need to have a good knowledge of the background of the framework. So it's not entirely ideal, and we are close to the end of refactoring DCFG to include all the scripting tools, so it's going to be very straightforward to use by all of you if you want to include a configuration editor in your LabVIEW application.
Do you imagine a release for that into 2024?
We didn't set anything in the stone, but I believe it's completely fine to say that we will be able to release that by the end of the year. Again, it's always the end. Implementing the tool, the feature, it's the fun part. Doing the test, writing the test plan, running it, the documentation, all that, working on our website to put all the resources, make videos. That's what can delay a release for us. But we are at the beginning of the year, close to finish the implementation. So that gives us probably a half a year to do the polishing. I hope we can do it. No promise.
Yeah, I just want to highlight and point out and make sure that everybody understands that these are commercial offerings of the DKMH Consortium. And I want to repeat the message. I hope everybody knows that the DKMH Consortium is a not-for-profit organization, right? So we all have our own businesses. We earn our living from our own businesses. DKMH Consortium still needs to make money so we can afford the development and the maintenance of DQMH and all the other offerings that we give to the community. So this is why we need to make money, and this is why we also offer paid products on top of the trusted advisor fees, training. These are basically the things that we earn the money with to support the maintenance of our favorite framework. So maybe not everybody is aware of that, but by booking a training, by purchasing a tool from the DKMH Consortium, you are actually contributing to the development and to the maintenance of DKMH. So I don't want to say it's doing a good deed, but it is supporting, making sure the DKMH is here to stay, sustaining the product, yes. So to everybody who has done that, thank you very much. We appreciate that.
Yeah.
And we could do it with a little more.
Guys, thank you very much for attending today. Great to get back and chat with you. Looking forward to some of these new products, and go out and try DQMH7.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Chris.
Cheers, guys.
Thank you.